The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
The voice of the people. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
On the Friday morning after Thanksgiving, hard to believe, November 29th, Peter Boyle's the hardest working man in radio, has a well-earned four-day weekend going on. Think he's going to be up in the mountains doing some skiing. And next big thing we've got on deck is the Children's Hospital Toy Run. We'll certainly talk about that some during the show today. My name's Randy Corcoran. I'm your Saturday morning pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And I'm just trying to give you a little time to warm up there, Tommy.
Okay.
I know you've got tryptophanitis.
Yes.
A late dinner last night with the family,
and I immediately went to bed.
It's Tommy Mueller with the news. We'll talk about Thanksgiving as soon as you get done.
Okay. Thank you very much. My turn now?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Randy. President Trump made a surprise trip to Afghanistan to have Thanksgiving dinner with the troops. While there, he announced the U.S. has restarted talks with the Taliban. He says he believes the Taliban want a ceasefire. The president also sat down with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani before leaving just after midnight. You look like you want to say something.
I always look like I want to say something. No, I'm just getting ready. I've got some sound from Donald Trump's visit to Afghanistan, so I was just identifying the location. These are the behind-the-scenes things that go on in radio, as you probably know.
Yeah.
44 years in now?
Since 1963. What is that?
Let's see, 55, 6 years.
Seven, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you started when you were about 13.
I wish that was true. This news is sponsored by your local Ford store. The Ford Black Friday sales event is on now. That means great deals on America's best-selling cars, versatile all-wheel drive SUVs, or built Ford tough trucks. The season is here, along with the best deals of the year. Get to your local Ford store today.
Before you jump to another story.
Sure.
Do you know how Newsweek was reporting Donald Trump's trip to Afghanistan?
I saw that, yes.
How is Trump spending Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Tweeting, golfing,
yes,
and more.
Right.
And, of course, Donald Trump pounced on that.
Yeah.
I was looking while you were doing your first story. I was looking at Donald Trump's Twitter feed, which is always a fascinating.
Yeah.
You could do 4 hours of radio. In fact, we may just do 4 hours of radio on Donald Trump's Twitter feed.
Well, that was a head fake, of course, on the president, and made it look that way.
Yeah,
and,
right. They had the big SUVs rolling into Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
They snuck him off to a different airport on a different plane, correct?
Yep.
So, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Just brilliant strategery. But Donald Trump's tweet says, I know you got some news to do. Donald Trump's tweet says, I thought Newsweek was out of business. And then he retweets that headline. The dude owns the media.
It's tremendous. He is a master at that. Truly. Well, it's Black Friday in the retail world, and a USA Today Ipsos poll says that 77% of Americans will buy something this weekend only if they can get a great deal. However, the survey found that millennials prefer shopping on Cyber Monday. No surprise there. Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday here in Colorado, encouraging shopping at mom and pop and locally owned retailers. The shopping scramble between Thanksgiving and Christmas is 6 days shorter because Thanksgiving came on the latest possible date.
Well, we're having a special sale tomorrow at the law offices of Randy Corcoran in honor of small business.
Are you?
Saturday. You bet. Yep. Discount law. Just drive through.
Drive through.
We're just going to stand out there. I can hand out forms. And...
Is there a little... a display outside of the office where I can look at the...
You just talk into the microphone. There's a clown face there.
Yeah. Never... Let's see. Divorces.
Right. DUI.
DUI.
No, none of those, please.
Accidents. Yeah. You know, okay.
You mentioned small business, mm-hmm. and it's been 2 or 3 months now since, along with my son-in-law, we opened up the Hartker's Garage, Automotive Repair Garage mm-hmm. in Littleton. And as you know, my history, car guy... from 13, 14 years old up, mm-hmm. mechanic for 20 plus years, now starting my 22nd year as a lawyer. But the listeners from 710 KNUS have simply been phenomenal. I heard Colorado Inside Out having some commentary last week, and I've got some interesting what passes for opinion about the national popular vote from that show. But one thing they said about 710 KNUS is that we have a very loyal following. Mm. And I can tell you, there were people driving from North Glen and other parts of the city all the way to Littleton just uh-huh. to say hello, to get a card, and to support the new business, which has just exploded.
That's
so
great.
The 710 listeners are absolutely awesome. One of the many things that I am thankful mm-hmm. for on this day after Thanksgiving 2019.
I'm with you on that one.
And by the way, I was just kidding about the drive-through legal advice on Saturday. Okay, don't show up.
Please don't. This is interesting. People don't celebrate Thanksgiving in France, Russia, or South Africa. You know that. But they do shop on Black Friday. That has produced kind of a backlash. Workers at Amazon in Germany went on strike for better pay on one of the busiest days of the year. Near Paris, climate demonstrators blocked a retailer's warehouse to protest overproduction, which they say is killing the planet. And consumer rights groups in Europe say retailers use Black Friday to lure in shoppers, but it's not always clear how real the discounts are.
Did you or your wife ever get caught up in the Friday morning frenzies or
never
taking off? Yeah,
I don't. I don't think she does either.
I think I can remember 1 year when my daughter was, you know, young teenager, and they got excited about something and spent out of... You know, daughter's 27 now, and so fairly long time ago. Just always seemed like the nuttiest thing in the world. But I guess, like, you know, big concert, it's if you're into it,
I suppose
you got to get that new what replaces the Nintendo now. But you know, the newest gizmo or gadget that maybe it's fun to camp out. I see the temperature 25 degrees in Aurora, and I'm thinking, you know, Amazon works for me.
I've really come to enjoy online stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just be lazy. This is interesting also. NBC News tweets a draft. This is a quote. The tweet, a draft copy of a report compiled by the Department of Justice Inspector General concludes that the FBI did not spy. The FBI did not spy on President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign. The tweet referenced, quote, a person familiar with the document. So obviously, a little cherry picking.
Well, except for this, you know, unnecessary, unknown, low-level FBI lawyer who apparently altered a FISA document.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if that was an Obama, I mean, if that was a... Trump administration, low-level official, it would be, you know, lawyer, main guy in the Trump administration, alters documents in order to spy on Hillary Clinton campaign or something like that. I think that people should be very, very confident that this, you know, the IG is not an attack dog, he's not a prosecutor, but if they're already starting to try and drip out little pieces of positive information, I hear this thing is hundreds of pages thick, and it's going to be devastating to Democrats.
I knew you'd comment.
Yeah, well, just that.
Yes.
I'm done now.
Well,
4 hours.
I don't think so.
It's all yours.
I don't think so. No, come on now. North Korea says it has test-fired its so-called super-large moldable rocket launcher. While Kim Jong-un looked on, South Korea expressed what it called strong regret over the launches and urged North Korea to stop escalating tensions. I know you're going to comment on this one. I know. No, the one I'm coming up with.
Okay, well, I've got to say something about it. This strikes me as China pulling the North Korea puppet strings right now. He's saying we are very unhappy with the president signing this proclamation in support of the Hong Kong demonstrators, and we need to get his attention and let him know we are not pleased at all.
No.
Yeah.
Is that
a lead up to this similar kind of story?
Well, it's similar in that you
have something to say.
You have to comment on this next one.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. A new bill in the Senate, co-sponsored by Elizabeth Warren, would revoke the nation's highest military honor from the soldiers who were at Wounded Knee. The bill would be a companion to a bill first introduced in the House. The bill rescinds the Medal of Honor given to 20 U.S. soldiers after the massacre in 1890 that saw hundreds of Lakota Indians killed on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation.
Fascinating. So the non-Indian, the 1,024th Indian, you and I have more Indian blood than she, trying to get her Indian cred up, wants to basically remake history. This is so typical of the left. It's why they have to take down statues and do revisionist history about what was good, what was bad, never looking at the context of the events when they happened. I hope that the political correctness that overruns us does not allow that to happen. Regardless of how wrong it was at the time or if we were mistaken in the way we handled that, not the point. We don't, hundreds of years later now, get to go back and undo something that was legally, rightfully done. It bugs me. Legally, they can do it.
Yeah.
Of course. But I think it would be horrific. Just the slap in the face to families. And
sure.
There were Americans who died there. Indians were ferocious fighters, scalping people, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, you're right. You just worked me up, and I'm not thankful for that, Tom Mueller.
How about sports? Did you watch sports yesterday?
Good God, no.
Okay, well, let me fill you in.
All right.
Okay. Chicago Bears beat the Detroit Lions. The Buffalo Bills killed the Dallas Cowboys, much to the highly visible disgust of owner Jerry Jones.
What is up with that? Why do they have to zoom in on his face and his box and his family every time they score, if they score, or fumble if they fumble? Who cares?
And he got up and left before the game.
Did he really?
And you could see all through the game, really, on the coach's face, especially in the second half, in the back of his mind, I know he was saying, oh, I've got to face Jerry after the game. I've got to face Jerry.
Well, he's counting down to the end of his ultimate firing, probably.
His career.
Yeah.
And the New Orleans Saints clinched a playoff spot with a win over the Atlanta Falcons. The Avs are in action this afternoon in Chicago to play the Blackhawks. And in college basketball, CSU hosts number 20 Boise State this afternoon. And on Wall Street, it's closed because of the holiday today. And that's real news.
That is real news, and you are real Tom Mueller.
Yes, yes, I am.
I'm surprised that the Me Too attack on Ambassador Sondland hasn't made it more into the news. Did you see any?
Yeah,
headlines about that? The Me Too movement, man, they do absorb their own, don't they?
Yeah.
And Sondland did not help. The impeachment inquiry did not advance the narrative because apparently he decided to testify honestly about the president calling and saying no quid pro quo. I want nothing. Tell the president of Ukraine to do the right thing.
And yet his testimony was convoluted. You know, I mean, it was interesting to me because it was filled of, I mean, he quoted what you had said. He quoted the president, and that was the thing that that stood out. But boy, he was he talk about a person who was a loose cannon. You know, I mean, he just really seemed to come this way and that way.
Well, he was trying to make the case, but he was at least honest enough, yes, or maybe has enough emails out there or other things that forced him to be accurate to say, well, this was my opinion. Mm-hmm. This was my interpretation.
Yeah.
This was, but when push came to shove and the president was speaking to me, mm-hmm. and of course the left is now trying to rejigger the timeline of events to make it sound like, well, Trump knew he was under investigation, so he was panicking, so mm-hmm. he made that call, so he made those statements so they'd be out there in the record. By the time Trump made that call or released that aid, it had been almost a month since the identification of the whistleblower, not the identification, you know, mm-hmm. official identification, since we were aware of a whistleblower and a whistleblower complaint. So to now argue that Trump, in a panic, was making these statements or releasing the aid 30 days later because of the whistleblower is just another joke.
Man.
But I think, and this isn't particularly new news, but I asked Kelly to leave it up here on the sound list. Jonathan Turley is a constitutional attorney, big time, on CNN a lot, on the CBS This Morning and those kinds of shows, and he's been giving his reports about impeachment, pro-impeachment kind of guy. And at the end of the entire 2 weeks of the Shucks show of Shifty Schiff and the Democrats trying to, with selective leaking and not allowing Republicans to call witnesses that they wanted, cutting them off in mid-question and all of that. I've actually got two versions of them, but they're short enough that I want to play them both. You probably haven't heard this. Listen to how Jonathan Turley summarized, and this is Jonathan Turley light on either CNN or CBS a week or so ago.
There's a lot really troubling here, and you can impeach a president for abuse of power. And these are legitimate issues for a judiciary to look at. Looking at it objectively, however, you have to know this is the shortest investigation that we've seen of an impeachment. Mm-hmm. It's the thinnest evidentiary record ever given for an impeachment, and it would be the narrowest impeachment in history.
So we've got the shortest process, the thinnest evidentiary record, and would be the narrowest impeachment in history. That left that particular panel basically speechless.
I'll bet.
But wait until you hear this. And you can, the silence on the panel at the backside of this says an awful lot.
I think that this is certainly the shortest investigation. It's certainly the thinnest evidentiary record, and it's the narrowest impeachment ever to go to the Senate if they were to go on this record.
Why don't they have a case?
Well, because the question is, did they prove something was contemptible or impeachable? Contemptible is not synonymous with impeachable. The president does set policy. They have three conversations, two of them directly, one with Senator Johnson, one with Ambassador Sondland, where Trump denies a quid pro quo. So you.
I'm going to stop it just there. Did you hear the announcer trying to get him butt?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that little
no,
butt?
For sure.
But Turley did not slow down.
A conflicted record. And the question is, what do you need to remove a sitting president? Whether this is intentional or not, it seems designed to fail in the Senate. I don't think you could prove a removable offense of a president on this record, even if the Democrats were in control. This thing is too narrow. It doesn't have a broad foundation, and it's an undeveloped record. There are a lot of core witnesses that were not called. And the question is why? They said, we want to vote by December. You know, we want to vote before Santa. Why? And I got to tell you, I think that this could be the trial that Trump wants. And the first witness they call may be Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That is fascinating. And I noticed last Saturday on the air and hearing news stories this week, impeachment has not been leading the headlines at all.
Yeah.
I know they geared up next week. We got the judiciary hearing. In fact, our own congressman and Colorado State GOP chairman Ken Buck is on the judiciary hearing. We're going to talk to him later on in the show today.
Oh, good.
But the Democrats are in just such trouble over impeachment.
Well, there's a loss of public interest, too, in the hearings, because it is all, you know, I mean, of course, it's hard sitting where we're sitting to really judge if it's what it appears to be from our side of the viewpoint. But nevertheless, it does seem like people are saying, whoa, this is a bunch of hooey. Why am I wasting my time listening to this stuff, you know?
And really, they didn't. I mean, no. The ratings dropped. That's the Democrat right. debate, right. Clown show debate, was the lowest rated mm-hmm. of the bunch so far. CBS actually stopped carrying live coverage of the impeachment hearings during mm-hmm. the second week, went back to regular programming. Not sure about other stations. But polling in battleground states mm-hmm. has flipped 5 points, 7 points, mm-hmm. 8 points against impeaching the president. And I have said all along, I know, I think Julie Hayden has been the only hangout or holdout saying, I don't think they're going to take the vote. Mm-hmm. I think they're in too deep not to go ahead and take the vote. They're people what's the guy who's running the thing next week? Nadler.
Jerry Nadler.
Yeah, I kept trying to think of something round. Jerry Nadler going home to his district is getting primaried from somebody on his left because they're not doing enough to get rid of this president. Yeah. So Pelosi, Nadler, Shifty Schiff, the whole bunch are kind of stuck on this course, and it's going to be to their great, great mm-hmm. detriment. I love watching the flailing of the Never Trumpers, pro-impeachment crowd folks on social media and elsewhere. It's a losing battle, and it is fun to watch.
You know, it is. And also, it does illustrate to me, when you are motivated by hatred, and these people really are, it's true, you are blinded to any kind of input contrary to your goal for that hatred.
Yeah, I'm real interested. 303-696-1971. Phone lines are wide open right now. If you got engaged in any political conversations around the Thanksgiving table, love to know how that played out. We know the vast majority of our listeners are Trump supporters. We get a few callers. Love to hear more from those who really think there's some juice to this impeachment. I've encouraged that battle. I've asked for that debate. 303-696-1971 if you're ready to fire up. But Trump is, of course, playing it brilliantly and leading into 2020. I don't think there's much better. Things could not be going better for the reelection of this president. Mm-hmm. Makes me very thankful on this day after Thanksgiving.
Well, there's your Thanksgiving gift.
Good to see you. I will be back here tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. You are welcome to come in if you'd like to do some real news on a Saturday.
Some real news on a Saturday.
Yeah,
huh?
We do have real news on Saturday.
Yeah. Well,
Tommy, love to your wife. Always good to see
thank
you.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great rest of the day.
I'll see you at the Christmas party.
Oh, I wasn't invited.
Well, I haven't
heard
about
it. Did you
mean
to put that out publicly?
No, I haven't heard it yet myself, but I just know that...
You know who won the ugly sweater contest 2 years ago?
No.
At the 710 KNUS?
No.
And my wife and I, we had this sweater where both people fit in the one sweater.
You were the people.
That was right. That was a great prize, too. I forget what it was, but we spent it well. Anyway, God bless you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, it is 522. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, I was really mesmerized by what passes for commentary on a local show last week, Colorado Inside Out, a show that Peter actually hosted for 12, 13, 14 years, something like that, talking about the national popular vote. Big deal. We'll be on the ballot next year. We'll talk about that next on the Peter Boyle Show here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
So much for easing into your morning. Scorpions will do it. Welcome back. So nice to have you along this morning. Randy Corporate in for Peter Boyles. I'll be back here tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, for my regular gig. And it is Dark 30 coming up on 5:30, cold as can be. High today around 38 degrees. We may see some sun this weekend with a high of 40 and 45. Hopefully we'll get some warmth in place over the next week because, boy, coming up real soon is the Children's Hospital toy run. And I just can't believe we're back to December already. Thanksgiving, you sit around, you think about the things that you're thankful for. And I posed the question going into the break, did you get into any of those political conversations around the Thanksgiving table 303-696-1971. Were you one of those folks who were ostracized or not invited or just, you know, kind of got the back of the hand from some of the family members? I've got a few of those in my family as well. My family has taken such, I shouldn't say my family, small pieces of my very large family have taken such exception to my jumping on to the incredibly successful presidency of the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, that one of them actually made a donation, two donations really, one to the local chapter, one to the national chapter, in my name, to Planned Parenthood. And I know this because I got the thank you, a receipt and notification, a donation was made on your behalf by if the initials are correct, and I'm guessing properly, a cousin of mine. And of course, that now gets me on the mailing list and all of the fundraising dunning letters of Planned Parenthood. So very, very thankful when your enemies identify themselves. And I can't wait to see this person in person at the next major family event. That should make for a very interesting conversation. Just got a text from my son. He and his fiance have hit the ground coming back from Thanksgiving away. They had an ailing family member they went to see, and it worked out really, really well because our Thanksgiving was canceled. My mom wound up in the hospital. My wife, nasty, nasty flu. So we're all going to gather together as a family on Sunday. But it gave me a lot of time yesterday to be thinking about the things that I'm thankful for. Before I forget, though, since I know my son is listening, son, your dog ate my shoelaces. I kid you not. I'm sending you the bill. Be ready. But I was thinking about, you know, the last few months, even here at 710 KNUS, the things and the people that I'm thankful for. I mentioned during the banter with Tommy Mueller just how loyal the listeners at 710 KNUS are and how they've turned out and supported our new endeavor, the Hartker's Garage in Littleton. But I think about the 921ers, the folks who showed up for the rally. And I've mentioned this on my Saturday show, but we've got buttons. Some donor brought them to my law firm. A woman, I'm told, I wasn't there, left two big bags of 921 and Labor Day Stand With ICE rally buttons. And so this is not affiliated with the station in any way. I carry them around in my car now, carry them around in my trial bag. And when I see you out and about, if you come to the law firm for legal advice, if we're in an event together, an Arapahoe Tea Party meeting, and you are a 921er or a Labor Day rally goer, then please come up and let me know because I got the buttons. But so thankful for that. And so thankful to be alive in such important times. I mean, just think about the leaders that have arisen in history at the right time for the future of America. George Washington, of course. If you are a believer in God, then you understand that we are a country founded on, guided by providence. George Washington appeared at the right time. George Washington, who was the citizens of this country, after successfully beating back the most powerful army in the history, the most powerful military, army, navy, in the history of the world up until that day, were begging George Washington to be their king. And he said, no, we fought to not have kings. Imagine the wrong kind of person being bestowed with that type of pressure and that type of encouragement to become the sole decision maker, the sole ruler over this new country. And instead, George Washington said no, and he refused to continue in the presidency over and over and over. He said, my time has come. It's time to move on. Abraham Lincoln showed up at a time in our history when our country was ready and was tearing itself apart. 600,000 plus Americans killed each other during the Civil War in order to stop the scourge of slavery. And an unknown Illinois country lawyer who wasn't very attractive, whose voice wasn't very powerful or persuasive, but had the right words, the right heart, the right guidance from above, and led us through very tough and tumultuous times. And I would say we are in that situation again. And it's because we're now in the age, as we head into the deeper into the 21st century, of political correctness, what you can say, what you can't say. The left, who's been working on this goal of changing the government, the governing philosophy of the United States of America for almost a century in our schools, started with the colleges and Hollywood, in our entertainment. So much of the mainstream, lamestream media all focused on turning our attentions away from being self-governing, individual, sovereign human beings sharing common goals and interests in the United States of America. And they were winning. After two terms of Barack Hussein Obama, the third term of Obama, Hillary Clinton, had she stepped into place, the deal might have been done. We might have been close to a resurgence, a rising of arms, another civil war deep within our country. I would argue we're in a soft civil war as it is. When you see how people show up in their cowardly masks, the Antifa show up at colleges and other kinds of protests, the way protesters shouted us down at our Labor Day Stand with ICE rally, and what we had to do to bring the Aurora police, empower them to do their job and stand up in force at the 921 Stand with ICE rally. And it's just a sample, an inkling, an example of just how close we are to losing this last great hope for man on earth, the greatest experiment in self-governance in human history. So, so very close. And who shows up? Who pops up? Who overcomes every obstacle? Takes out the Bush dynasty, takes out the Clinton dynasty, takes out a host of very prominent Republican senators and other politicians, governors, etc., and just pounds and pummels and beats and bashes his way through that entire that was a clown car light, I suppose. Some of those candidates fell off pretty quickly. But battles his way to the nomination. And people like me, you know, constitutional conservative, original Tea Party patriot, an activist now for 10 years, leader of the largest Tea Party group in the state of Colorado. Tea Party is not dead, by the way. I've got that story to get into later on in the show. But he beats it all. I'm sitting there at the Republican National Convention just pulling my hair out thinking, my God, what's going to happen if this man actually becomes president? How in the world do we know what he's going to do based on who he's been, how positions have changed, etc.? And it was a chance conversation with a wife of my cousin that got me thinking differently about Donald Trump. Providence, I don't know, major airport, plane delay, wandering through, spot somebody in the corner, think it looks like somebody I know, but continue on my way. Turns out it was somebody I know, so they jump up, come over, grab me. We sit down. We have an hour conversation. And she just happens to be somebody who has flown with Donald Trump on his planes, been to Russia with Donald Trump, been to Donald Trump's weddings, has covered many, many big stories about Donald Trump, been in Trump Tower, is a New York liberal who is not inclined to vote for Donald Trump, didn't like Hillary one bit, believed like I did that she is a criminal, but certainly wasn't likely to vote for Donald Trump. But she told me, she explained to me, he is great to be around. He treats women with respect. He remembers your name. He remembers things about your family. He puts women in positions of power in his company. And so I don't even understand, she said, how the media is trying to define and describe him the way that they do. Because she said it's simply not true. I got on my plane many, many hours later out of Cleveland with a different conversation going on in my head. If what the media has told me about this president, and I know he's been a cad, been through some marriages, you know, whatever, John F. Kennedy, FDR, Bill Clinton, don't lecture me about the moral compass of Donald Trump. He wasn't as presented, and I learned this from somebody who wasn't inclined to like him, had personal experience, and had no reason to lie to me. So it started changing my thought process. Of course, when I got back to town it was Trump or Clinton. That was a no-brainer, fought like heck. And then since Donald Trump was sworn into office, he has performed like no other president that I can remember, going all the way back to Ronald Reagan. And I would have to say that given the times that we live in, and given the amount of, with cable news and Twitter and all the other ways that they have to attack this president, he has stood up in the face of much more withering attacks than Ronald Reagan ever had to face. And Ronald Reagan was attacked mercilessly by the three main networks. But that's all there were back then. The three networks, New York Times, Washington Compost, your daily papers in your local cities. He was going to get us into war. He was too old. He wasn't that bright. He was getting senile. A warmonger. Didn't know what he was doing. The dumb Hollywood actor. All of those things were thrown at Ronald Reagan. Nothing compared to what's thrown at this president, who from the moment he was sworn in, people like Paul Krugman, we're going to have the worst economic recession in ever. The world economy is going to collapse. The impeachment stories were running in the Washington Post 19 hours after he was sworn in as president of the United States. And yet through it all, who can you imagine that it would have performed and advanced the conservative agenda more than President Donald J. Trump has performed over the last 3 years? So, yeah, you can call me a sycophant. You can call me what the latest this last week is. We're all members of the Trump cult through his powerful oration. And then they'll put up, you know, a video of Hitler addressing the masses, pounding on the podium. We've all been mind mesmerized into Trump cult dummies, just following along with the great leader. No, thank you very much. I remain a sovereign citizen with a sharp mind that likes to read and likes to understand world events the best I can, taking advantage of this 24-hour, round-the-clock, nonstop access to news and information and commentary and opinion, and make my own decisions. And my decision is this was the president for our times. You give me one other Republican, one other individual who would have stood up and said, you know what? Bring it on. I am not apologizing. I am not backing down. You throw a punch, I'm throwing a kick, and I'm not stopping until you are squirming and begging for mercy. And that is what these times call for. When you hear some crazy leftist, and I'll give an example of this in a minute, I want to talk about Colorado Inside Out. We're going to take a break first. But when you hear some crazy leftist telling you that, gosh, in the era of Trump, the tenor of our conversation has gotten so elevated, we've got to calm down, we've got to learn to talk to each other, it's a lie. This is a response to what the left has done to you and to the average worker across this country, to the average American citizen who just wants to be left alone. And thank God we have this president, this man, for this time in world history to give us a fighting chance to continue this greatest experiment in self-governance that humankind has ever created. And boy, it is going to be a fun 2020. Yes, I am very thankful for that. Late on the break at 5:43, Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Saturday morning host Randy Corcoran here in for Peter Boyle's, hopefully headed up to the mountains for some skiing. His biggest love after, maybe his third biggest love after, his Harley and his grandson. But awfully nice to be here with you. Phone number's 303-696-1971. No takers this morning on our question. Did you get into the political conversations around the Thanksgiving table yesterday? And if so, how did that go? In the time I've got before the top of the hour, though, I watched Colorado Inside Out last week. It's a show that Peter has hosted before, has had a variety of commentators from different political perspectives. And but last Saturday, it was just the leftist brigade. It was very, very interesting to watch. And there was this one commentator on there that just shocked me. that this, what she had to say, passes for thoughtful analysis or opinion or persuasion on a show like Colorado Inside Out. And her name is Marie Aberger or Auberger, something like that. And on her Twitter feed, you know, she was the she worked comms for Barack Obama and Airbnb. She's a founding partner of Be Clear, which if you go to their website, Better Communications for a Better Future. And her commentary started out this way, and I won't have time to finish it, but just think about this. Talking about the national popular vote in the Electoral College. I'll just give you a tease, and we'll pick this up on the other side. The Electoral College makes no sense right now, and then she giggles. It takes a long time to explain. A popular vote says whoever gets the most votes wins the presidency. That's a democracy. That makes sense. And I think we're going to see more of a push to get rid of the Electoral College the more people understand how much it doesn't really make sense anymore. That was the analysis of the national popular vote and the dismissing of the Electoral College on Colorado Inside Out. Come on, guys. The Tea Party's here. How about having somebody with an alternative view? We'll talk more about that. Ted Harvey, Ken Buck, this show as well.